in our increasingly busy lives, we often talk about trying to squeeze something in or schedule a time for. It just seems like we're living event to event or practice to practice, but we've missed out on the ability to enjoy the moment. During Making Room, we'll talk about how to carve out space for the most important things in your life so that you can breathe. Life shouldn't be lived at 100 miles an hour. So let's make some room to enjoy it.
You know, when you first become a Christian, often one of the first things that people tell you is, man, you need to start developing a quiet time. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. You know, when I was a kid, when they said, David, you need quiet time, it wasn't a positive thing. When you think about it, it's all about spending time with God. That's the whole point. The whole point of developing this time of devotion, this time of just kind of sitting with God. And sometimes we can almost make it too difficult. We make it something that has to be we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to have a devotional book, and we've got to have a Bible study, and we've got to have an accountability partner, and we've got to. No, it's none of that. I want to just simplify what it means to spend time with God as simple as possible in terms I think we can all understand. The Bible says that our ultimate purpose after we accept Jesus Christ is to become more like Christ, to move closer to that relationship with God, to become more like God. That's our biggest goal. It's our highest goal as followers of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we'll have a heart of compassion that God has to reach and be compassionate towards people. All the fruits of the Spirit will begin to develop in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, meekness. All of those things that God says are supposed to kind of flow out of us will become a natural occurrence as we become more and more like Christ, as we spend more time with God. And so here's the way that I like to put it. Do you remember when you had your first boyfriend or your first girlfriend? Do you remember that? Maybe you're actually married to your first boyfriend or first girlfriend, and you've been married for 30 years, and you're like, I can remember when we first started dating. What happened? No, just kidding. But you remember you first started dating, right? And like everyone like became physically ill when the two of you were around because you're like, I have to spend time with them. And we're spending time together and you're next to each other and you sit next to each other in lunch and you walk to each other with classes and you share a locker. And I mean, it's just like almost ad nauseum, right? You're like, come on, cut it out. Because you had this desire to spend time with this person. And the more that you spend time with that person, the more you really enjoy that person, the more you want to spend more time. It's the cyclical thing. The more you spend time, the more you want to be with them. Or if you're like, the more you spend time, you don't want to be with them, it's probably the wrong person, right? And so it's the same thing when it comes to God. It's not about these overly structured, overly dramatized, you know, I've got to have everything laid out and I've got to have this little closet that I go into and close the door. No, it's just about spending time with God. It's just about reading from His Word, reading from the Bible, and then talking to God through prayer. That's all that prayer is. It's just talking to God. That's all it is. There's nothing more complicated than that. And you go, well, why is that really necessary? Well, there's a great passage in the book of Psalm. It actually is the very first psalm that is in the book of Psalms, okay? There's 100 plus psalms. And in the book of Psalms, there's the very first one. It kind of sets up the entire book. Psalm 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. In other words, man, those who do not follow the advice of people that don't know God, those who choose to instead go, okay, what does God want me to do? There's joys that just kind of, it's just a part of your life. Because you recognize you're not making those stupid decisions by following people who really can't give you honest answers when it comes to following God. So all the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight. Now that word is to like, man, you take joy, you celebrate, you cannot get enough of the law of the Lord. Now he uses the Old Testament word for the Bible, the law of the Lord. That's what the Old Testament was called, the law of the Lord. And so he says, listen, it is amazing When you decide to instead delight in spending time reading the Bible, spending time reading God's Word, it is amazing the transformation that begins to happen in your life. Now, I'm going to caution you really quickly because this is really important. Spending time with God is both breathing in and breathing out, right? I hear a lot of people talking about how they pray all the time. Do you realize that that is like being in a relationship where one party talks all the time and the other party doesn't talk at all? Because that's exactly what spending time with God is. You're reading His Bible, God speaking into you. And then you're praying, you're talking back to God. If all you ever do is pray and you don't spend any time in the Bible, all you're doing is talking back to God. And God's like, you know what? What you have to say is nowhere near as important as what I have to tell you. Shut up and listen, okay? Because that's what we got to do. We got to do both. And so he says, oh, the joys of the people do it. And look at this. He says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. Now, this is one of my favorite words, this word meditate. It's the word ruminate. It's another word for that. How many of you ever grew up or were around cows at all? Anyone? Okay. Okay. There's this thing that cows do that's called rumination. Cows have, I believe it's 5 stomachs. Did you know that? They have 5 stomachs. It's an amazing thing. If you hang around cows long enough, they will eat the food, whatever it is that they're going to eat, until their first stomach is full. A little while later, after the juices in the stomach have broken it down a little bit, you'll see the cow go like this. And they bring out of the first stomach what was in the stomach back into their mouth. I know, that is disgusting. And then they chew it. And then you know what they do? They swallow it again, and it goes into stomach number 2. And then a little while later, you see them go, and they break 5 times, because they are trying to get every single bit of nutrient out of what they have. That's what that word meditating on it day and night means. It means that literally you read the Word of God, and then, man, you just think about what God's told you. And you process it, and you kind of chew on it for a little bit, then you set it aside, and maybe later that day at lunch, you come back, and you go, man, I was thinking about what God said this morning, His Word, and then you just think about it, and you just kind of meditate on it. It does not mean getting scented candles or oils or sitting in a room, crossing your legs in some weird way, putting your fingers together and going, That's not what it means. It means to just kind of let it kind of saturate and satiate your mind as you think about it throughout the day. That's what it means to meditate on God's Word. And then he gives us the most powerful thing. He says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank. They bear fruit in every season. It doesn't matter if it's cold or hot. It doesn't matter if it's humid or if it's Labor Day in Indiana. It's like 40 freaking degrees outside for some weird reason. They bear fruit because it doesn't matter what happens, they are connected to the source, the riverbank. And so they continue to bear fruit. So he says, if you meditate, if you love the law of the Lord, if you spend time reading God's Word, that it doesn't matter what the circumstances are around you, you will constantly bear more and more fruit, looking more and more like Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, he says, and their leaves, they never wither. It doesn't matter how hot it gets. It doesn't matter if there's drought. It doesn't matter if there's famine. It doesn't matter if all the stuff and there's all stuff going on. It doesn't matter. Their leaves, they continue to thrive no matter what happens. And then he ends it with, and they prosper in all that they do. You say, why should I spend time with God as a Christian? Why should I carve out time every single day making room for God? Because that's the only way you become more like God. And when you do that, it means these things become reality in your life. It means when you get to decision points where you go, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this decision. You've spent time with God. You've prayed. The Holy Spirit is active in your life, and He helps you make the wise decisions. It opens up everything else to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, Jesus Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God, and God will add all the other things to your life. It opens up everything else to you. It helps you make wise decisions, and it also rewards you incredibly. Jesus Christ said, listen, when you go and you pray and you spend time, do it by yourself. Don't go out so that people can know. Don't be like, every day I'm going to post on Facebook the fact that, hey, I meditated with God today. And boast about it. Now, then you've already got your reward. But instead, do it where it's just you and God. And it's that quiet, private time between you and God. And God will richly reward you, he says, when you do that. So that's why. But the biggest, hairiest reason why, our big idea for today is this. That to become more like God, you must spend time with God. If you want to become more like God, if you want to fulfill the ultimate purpose of every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, to become more like God, that is almost impossible if you don't spend time with God regularly. There is so much in our world that wants to crowd everything out that is good and positive and healthy and nurturing and pure in your life, that if you do not consistently spend time with God, there is no way that you can continue to become more like God. It's just not going to happen. You'll become more like the people that you spend time with. You'll become more like the activities that you're participating in. You'll become more like those that are around you, your family or whatever. You'll become more like them because that's who you spend more time with. Have you ever met a couple that's been married for like 50 years and you're amazing like how much they are like each other? You're like, man, you're like, you eat the same thing, you do the same. It's just an amazing thing. The more you spend time with someone, the more you become like them. And that's the whole thing. So you're like, I don't know that I like that. I'm thinking about this now. But you become more like that person. You just do. And so if you want to become more like God, you've got to spend time with God. It's just an absolute necessity. Look at this, James chapter 4, verse 8. James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and he writes this book specifically to believers. And he says, I want you to understand something. If you come close to God, God will come close to you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Do you know that God desires to have a close relationship with you? God desires for you, when things happen in life, that he's the first person you run to in your mind, your heart, your spirit. And God says, when you come close to me, I will come that much closer to you. And then he finishes, he says, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And see, that's, spending time with God can seem like such a simple thing. And I am guilty of it just as much as you are. That the craziness and the busyness of life pushes all of that out. And that's where James says, listen, you have a divided loyalty. You're spending more time watching SportsCenter than you are reading the Word of God. You're spending time, more time watching Hallmark or Lifetime or, you know, soap operas or reading books with some long-haired guy that's got an 8-pack. I'm not sure how they have an extra set of abs, but they've got it. You're spending more time hunting. You're spending more time playing softball or frisbee, golf, or whatever. You're spending more time with that than you are with God. Your loyalties are divided. And because of that, you're not growing more like God, because to grow more like God, you've got to spend time with God. Then Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. I can tell you some of the most amazing times that I have personally had, or that I've heard from others as they've spent time with God, is not when they sat down with their Bible with an agenda. Okay, God, I'm going to find verses that prove that I can do this thing that probably everyone tells me I shouldn't do. No, it's when you get somewhere where it's quiet. My favorite place, honestly, is outside. I love being outside. There's just stuff going on all over the place. There's birds and hummingbirds and raccoons and squirrels and chipmunks. And it's just like you just begin to watch all that stuff. And it is amazing when you are just quiet before God and you spent time reading the Word of God. I'm not going to say that God goes, all right, Rob, here's what I want you to do. I don't think he does that. But I believe that when you grow closer to God, you can feel the presence of God and feel God begin to speak into your life. And you can have clarity knowing that that's truly God, because you spent enough time in the Word of God to know what his voice sounds like. That's an amazing thing. When you're able to be still before God and know that it's God. So what I want to do, I want to just share with you a couple things this morning that you can do, that you can take and put into practice in your life to be able to carve out that time so that you can grow like Christ. And I don't want this to be a guilt thing. Listen, I don't want you, if you're here this morning and you know that like your spouse or your friend next to you hasn't been doing their devotions, or you know, you did a Bible study together and you're like 7 weeks ahead of them, whatever. Don't look at them. I don't want this to be a guilty thing. I want this to be an inspirational thing. I want it to encourage you to go, man, I want that. And so make the change in your life to be able to do it. The first thing you need to do is you need to pick a specific and consistent time. I know that sounds like, whoa, revolutionary. Just pick a specific and consistent time. You go, well, I'll just you know, read my Bible and I'll just pray. I'll spend time with God whenever I have the opportunity. Guess what? The opportunity will not present itself on a regular basis. You go, well, I'll do it at this time. I'll do it at this time. Whatever time is available. That never work because it gets easily crowded out. If you don't stake a time in your day where you go, this is when I'm doing it, and I'm not going to change, I'm not going to alter that for anyone or anything. This is when I'm going to do it. And you hang on to that. That's when you can become consistent in spending time with God. I want you to see this. Jesus Christ did this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Like, he is God. And yet he himself consistently set aside time to spend with God the Father. And look at this. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross, excuse me, I got these two verses mixed up, so I'm going to switch them up. I put them on the wrong. I'm going to start with Mark 1:35. That's what I was going to start with, so I messed it up. Sorry, Chuck. Chuck's a rock star back there. I'm going to start with Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35, okay? Because this is the way where we can see he's consistent, right? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. How many of you are morning people? Man, bless your heart. I think the rest of us all hate you. Those of you that are morning people, man, Jesus was a morning person apparently, because half of his followers, his close disciples, were fishermen. You ever been around a fisherman that wants to go out? It's like before daybreak. They've got to get out there. They've got to be on the water where the mist is still coming off the water and the sun's coming up, and they're like, yes. Because that's when they do it. And all these guys were fishermen. And Jesus got up before them and went out and prayed. And he was out there for a significant period of time. And then Peter and the rest of the fishermen got up. And they're like, where's Jesus? And they go out to try to find Jesus. And they're like, Jesus, what are you doing? He goes, I'm here because I need to make sure that the Father and I are connected continually. Jesus is that important. Now, for the rest of us, I want to be very clear that it doesn't mean that you have to get up at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, before the sun rises and spend time with God. If that works for you, man, awesome. Do it. Schedule it. At the same time, be careful, too, because life changes. You know, before you were married, you probably had a schedule that you loved and you made it. This is great. This is a wonderful schedule. And then you got married, and you're like, oh, this has to change. And then your schedule's changed. And then you're like, oh, it turned blue, and we're pregnant, and this is so exciting. Oh, your life. If you are pregnant right now, bless you. We're praying for you because your life is about to be changed in dramatic ways. And you're like, man, everything's going to change. So don't be so rigid that you cannot be flexible and change when that time is. Because I want you to see this. At a later time in Jesus' life, when some other things were going on, I want you to see what happens. And that's Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Immediately after this is late in the day, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. So Jesus goes, get in the boat, go across. And Jesus says, listen, thanks so much for being here, folks. It's been great. I'll be here all week. Go home. Sends them home. And watch what happens. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And night fell, and he was there all alone. There are certain times when your life changes, when your schedule changes, and you go, man, I either need extra time or I need to change the time. Because I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. So pick that regular and consistent time, but don't be so rigid that you go, it's got to be this. No, you might need to flex with life to be able to make sure that it works, but it always needs to be in your day, every day. Second, make or follow a reading plan. Make or follow a reading plan. I literally get this question dozens of times a year. How do I start reading the Bible? Well, the first thing is you should probably open it up. That's step number one. If you're like, oh, okay, well, that's a good start. Start it by opening it up. Now, I would not encourage you to just like do what some people do, and they like open it up and find a verse, and they read that, and they close it, and they open it up again and find a verse and read it, and then they open it. That's not how the Bible is meant to be read, okay? In fact, there's a story about a guy who was trying to read the Bible for the first time, and he opened it up, and the first verse he came across was the verse that said, Judas went out and hanged himself. He's like, okay, closes it up. Opens it up again. The next verse, it comes and says, go thou and do likewise. And he closes it up again, and he opens it up and says, whatsoever you're going to do, do immediately. He's like, I think I'm done. So have a reading plan, okay? And it can be as simple as, I'm going to read through this book of the Bible. And that's why the Bible, by the way, is broken up the way that it is. Okay, there's books, there's chapters, there's verses. So it makes it easy for you to kind of reference and go back. You know, maybe pick a book of the Bible. I know one of the things I would encourage people to do is if you're trying to get in the habit of doing it, read a proverb a day. Whatever day that is, read that corresponding proverb. There are 31 proverbs, and so you can, for every day, read a proverb. I did that for several years at one point in time just because it was just such a refreshing thing. Every time you read it, you found something new. Or maybe you need to jump on YouVersion.com. There are all sorts of reading plans there. You're like, listen, I want to get to know who Jesus Christ is. There's about 75 different reading plans, know Jesus Christ. And, you know, I want to learn who the Holy Spirit is. And, oh, there are, you know, 27, learn how the Holy Spirit works, or all whatever thing. And so I would encourage you to do that. Because what that does is it allows you to kind of work through it consistently. Look at what the Bible says here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk. Remember when your kids were infants, and maybe you still got them, and when they were hungry, you really had to guess, right? Like, I don't know if they're hungry or not. And they're like screaming and pitching a fit, and they're like, now, food, milk. It's like, that's how you need to be when it comes to spending time with God. And then he continues, he says, so that you may grow into a full experience of salvation, cry out for this nourishment. You need to set up that schedule so that you know where you're headed. And so you can begin to read these things. But here's the other thing, too, I want to challenge you with. Because sometimes we can get in the habit of reading things that we like to read. I literally have talked to people like, I only read the New Testament. Well, you cannot understand the New Testament without understanding the background of the Old Testament. Well, I only like to read the Old Testament because I like the stories of the Old Testament. Well, that's great. But the Old Testament has no context without the finish of the New Testament. The whole counsel of the Word of God, the entirety from Genesis to Revelation, really is necessary for you to understand and read through. Maybe some of you are like, man, I've been doing this for a long time. I would challenge you, start reading through the Bible. You're like, what? That's thick. Seriously? Harry Potter book is like this thick. Y'all read through it in like a month. So it's really not that hard, and I would encourage you to do that at least one time in your life because it gives you an unbelievable context to see how God is working through people's lives. And through your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, all Scripture, the whole thing, is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true, make us realize what is wrong in our lives. And it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do and what is right. A lot of times, the reasons that you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, don't know what to do is because you haven't spent time listening to the one who's trying to teach you how to do it. If you spend time reading the Word of God daily and talking to Him, there's going to be a whole lot less confusion when it comes to making right decisions in your life. There have been things that emotionally were very difficult for me, for Tracy, for our family, for the elders of the church to do, but we go, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says this. This is not going to be fun, but the Bible says this. Therefore, that's the right decision. Because God is always right. Third thing. Not only should you make a consistent regular time, not only should you make or follow a reading plan, but you should also record your thoughts and prayers. Record and your thoughts and prayers. All right, how many of you are journalers? You love to journal. A couple of journalers? Okay, a few of you? All right. Though this is like easy for you. This is like no big deal. You're like, I've got a journal for what I read. I've got a journal for what I eat. I've got a journal for my thoughts in the morning and my thoughts in the evening. And you got all these journals, right? It's easy for you. For the rest of us, this is kind of an uncomfortable thing, right? To write your thoughts down because you're like, if I write it down, somebody may find it. But it's really important. Let me tell you why it's really important. Because remember that first verse that we read, Psalm 1? And it said, meditate, ruminate, think about. As you get older in life, I've learned that after you cross the 45 divide, memory tends to slip a little more often than not. And so it's really important to write your thoughts down. You're like, man, I love that verse. Underline it, circle it, you know, highlight it. But then to write your thoughts down, man, I read this verse today, and it really challenged me in this area. And then, like at night when you're getting ready to go to bed, you're like, what did I read this morning? And you can open up and go, oh, yeah, that's right. But the other reason that I encourage you to do that is because when you pray, there are a lot of times when you pray and God answers prayer and you don't ever recognize that God answered your prayer because you forgot you prayed it. So one of the reasons, too, that you should write down your prayers is that when God answers them, whether it's yes, no, maybe, or wait, because that's how God answers prayers, that you can go, answered. And you go, man, it's not that I'm just talking to nothingness. God hears me, and he is responding to what I'm saying, and it builds your faith. So record your thoughts and prayers. Look at this. Psalm 119:11. David says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden it in my heart. Now, some people say, oh, that means you've got to memorize. I think memorization is great. But if you're so concerned about memorization, you've got about book, chapter, verse. Remember, that is not inspired. But there's a whole lot of truths that you need to allow to just sink into your heart. And some of that is based upon meditating and spending time and allowing it to kind of just satiate in your mind and sink in. And so you spend time doing that. And David says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not sin, so I won't screw up. Do you realize that you could be in the process of doing something and the Holy Spirit will, boom, remember God said this, and you're like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. Because it acts as a guardrail in your life to help you become more like God. I want to end this morning by reading for you what Solomon was pleading and praying for his son to get. And I think it's important for us to understand that when the Bible is written, that it doesn't just speak to the particular audience, but it also carries through to us. And so this morning as I read this, I want you to hear this not just as a third party overhearing a conversation between a father and son, but I want you to hear it as God speaking these words to you as well. As Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, as Solomon pleads with his son. My child, never forget these things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart, and then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Someone says, listen, you want to become more like God? You've got to spend time with him. And then when God teaches you something, don't just read it and forget it. Let it stick in you. Let it stay with you. Let it grow roots deep into your heart so that it begins to grow and produce fruit in you so that you become more and more like God. And as you do that, you will experience many years. You will experience satisfying life. People will see you. And even if they don't like Christianity or church or anything like that, they'll go, you are a person of character and integrity because that's what God is like. And it says, man, if you do these things, you will enjoy the life that God has for you. Please. Please spend time with God. Because when you spend time with God, you become more like Him. And that is our ultimate purpose, to become more like our Savior and the God who loved us so much to send Him to take our place. Father God, we thank You. God, we know that this is something that probably is very rudimentary. And God, I'm sure that there's a lot of people here this morning who do this on a regular and consistent basis. God, I'm so thankful for them. But God, for so many of the rest of us, this is kind of a struggle because life's demands just push and pull and squish and crush. And it becomes so difficult, especially with little kids or craziness of work or working 80 hours a week. And God, it becomes so hard. But God, I pray that this morning, as we've taught through the Word of God, that there would be just a fire, a burning passion that is lit within each of us to say, no matter what it takes, I'm going to spend time with God. Not because it's a routine or not because it's a ritual, but because I want to make better decisions. I want to live a rich and satisfying life. I want to have that love and that peace and that joy. I want to know what God's purpose for me is. And I want to live it out. God, whatever it takes, give us that passion, that ability to begin to do it and to do it for You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.